Is this the reading room?
Yes, I'm Saad Manzoor.
And I'm Travis Howard.
This is Reading Room Talk. Thank you for pressing play.
Yeah, welcome everybody.
We appreciate you guys listening. We got a special guest. As usual, we have one of the most specialist guests. One of the guys that told me that I had to do this thing right here. So straight from Boston via Ethiopia, we got Dr. Baruch Ndale. How are you today?
I'm well. It's a pleasure.
Hey, man.
And an honor.
Excellent.
Glad to be here.
Excellent. Appreciate you
being
here.
Thanks for taking the time, sir. Absolutely.
Exactly. Making time. We appreciate the time.
No, I'm honored. Yeah, you guys are esteemed guests, and I'm just happy to support this great venture. You guys are doing great.
Excellent.
Mentorship I've got going on.
We'll pay you later. So, let me take us back to medical school since we went to the same medical school. Tell me, what was your toughest class or rotation in medical school?
I would say it was probably, you know, I remember, I think we had a really tough cardiology block.
That was, yes.
You know, that basically, oh, yeah. So we basically were going through it at the same time. So you remember.
Yes.
Yeah, that one took out a lot of people. I mean, it was just one of those where it's like, you know, they dropped, you know, a syllabus of like, you know, hundreds of pages on us, and they gave us maybe like under 2 weeks to basically just get, you know,
inhale it
out. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Drinking from a fire hydrant kind of situation.
There you go.
So,
that's exactly,
you know,
right.
About that life.
Yeah. No, it was it was crazy. Plus, it was like integrated into like other things, I think. And
right, it was in parallel with like,
yeah,
two other. It was like you had a cardio test, but then you also had to like do this thing for like histopath.
Histopath and something else. And
yeah, there's like three exams all like stacked, and you're just like, okay.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, I think it was one of the first blocks too, because I think the first block was kind of like, wasn't it like, I can't remember, it was like a stats type or like something
yes,
like chill,
yes,
right? It was like,
yes,
a little bit more,
yes,
chill. And then,
yes,
like once this one started, like you saw the fangs come out. People were like, they were not friends anymore.
It was funny because med school, like, I don't know if it was a case specific thing or if it was just in general, med schools, you know, have this tendency to kind of, you know, just kind of like do a warm up round. You're like, you know,
yes,
doing shoot around and doing like lamp drills, and then,
exactly.
And then they come after you like nothing else, and you're like,
really,
I thought we were friends.
I thought we were good. Exactly.
I thought you wanted me here.
I thought this was a brotherhood.
Oh man, I just remember 65. That was it.
Yeah.
Let's try to get that 65%. Let me get through this. And I just remember the 65%. It felt like it was 65%, but it felt like 95%.
Oh man, P equals like, MD.
man.
P that pass equals MD all day.
Exactly.
Sometimes. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know what? That's what you have to tell yourself. And like, it really, you know, you really started to like, you know, realize that you're like, listen, I'm trying to, you know, pass these blocks, and there's a whole bunch of like really smart people here. So ain't no shame in just getting past this and moving on to the next.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
No, you're just trying to get through it. That's it. That's it. Survive in advance.
Right.
It's like March Madness, like for the whole first 3 years, basically.
And they did a good job. I think Case did a good job of trying to kind of tone down these sort of, you know, competitive, like,
they did,
you know, energy that
they did
med school has.
Oh, 100%. Because I remember some other medical schools, they were like, you know, like Case was like a true pass fail school. It was like pass fail each class. But I do remember interviewing at some other schools who were like, oh yeah, we're pass fail. There's high pass, honors.
Exactly.
Pass,
yeah, that was my school.
Like,
that was total veil. It was like,
is that Cincinnati? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I was like, those are grades.
Those are just ABC with different names.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. So if you passed and you like, say, did they make a distinction between those who got the 65 and the 95? Or
oh, absolutely not. Absolutely
no.
not.
Are you serious?
Not at all. No. Nothing. It was amazing. I remember, do you remember during Doc Opera that one year where like, I think it was our buddy Dave Ott. He made like a funny video basically where he was like singing like to this like to him logging into his like email and then seeing a 65.1%.
Yeah,
and he was like, yes, yes, that's it. That's
well, you know, I think the tune was like loving you because
yes,
you're beautiful.
Yes, exactly.
And it was
exactly.
65.1%.
Exactly.
Oh, man,
that's a good one. That's
yeah.
a good one.
But it made the, I mean, I think, you know, like there were a lot of fans that came out, but like I feel like it kind of made it more congenial between like a lot of the students, you know. Like, I think we were able to like really get along because, it really was just pass fail the first 2 years. So yeah. Big shout out to Case for setting that up like that, because a lot of that stuff we learned is not being used at all. Mm-hmm. So
I'm a bit envious at the moment, just a little bit.
You know, and there were always people who brought that wrong kind of energy, like I wanted like, you know, a 95 on an exam,
sure.
You needed
right.
a 66
exactly.
And we did a good job of just sort of walking around those people and just being like, no, that's not really our, you know, we're trying to like, you know, survive.
We're trying to keep it moving, man. Like I also remember you know, like, because they try to, like, you know, med school is competitive, and, like, they try to make it less competitive for the pass fail, but then I also feel like there are people who are, like just absolute gunners who tried to tune it back, and they couldn't.
They couldn't do it.
They couldn't. Like, their
version that's how
of
they
it,
got there.
That's exactly right. That's how they got there. Exactly. And their version of tuning it down was like, yeah, I didn't study. Like, come on, man. We know you study. Like, come on, man. We know you did. We know you did. Don't lie.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's such a mental like hurdle to get over. It's like, let me just focus on myself. Let me get through these classes, keep it moving, and that's it, man. So
that's nice. I think some of those people who get there based on competition can sometimes struggle, right? If your success is measured by what someone else did or didn't do, that it can lead to some heartache, some pain for sure.
A lot of pain.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. 100%.
So that's great that you know, that case fostered, you know, didn't matter. You didn't have to compare yourself to such and such and get the distinctions. But
we were able to find like a good group of you know, people to like, you know, spend time with and get through it with, which was really nice. And yeah, I mean, I think like it was just a nice culture they had at Case. So I really liked it a lot. So.
And one kind of related point is that I was actually surprised at the people who, you know, got there and they literally had never, you know, failed at like anything.
Oh yes, that's real.
In life.
That's
and,
real.
You know, that's well and good, but it's like it just really, you know, the highs and lows are pretty tough if you really, you know, can't withstand like, you know, getting a bad grade on like a pass fail exam.
And then still passing and then like, being like upset that like you didn't like pass more. You know, like
a slew of people who've never gotten less than like an A+ in our class, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
It shocked them.
Yeah, I was just like, wrong school. You go to a different school. This is not the place for you.
Yeah,
but that's how it goes, man. So tell us about yourself, man. So where were you born?
I was born in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. Dananish.
Nice, nice. Now, do you remember anything about your childhood there?
Oh yeah, I mean, I grew up there until I was about almost 9 years old, like a little eight and some change. So I remember quite a bit. You know, we had a pretty good life there. You know, I'd say we kind of had a sort of like a middle class life. My parents kind of were, you know, they were kind of working like, you know, they had like their own shops and stuff. Like my mom was doing, you know, selling like electronics. My dad had like a textile shop that came through the, you know, down, was passed down through the family. So
nice.
You know, we had a pretty good, you know, pretty good life, you know, family, friends, everything was good. It's just, you know, there's a lot of sort of political turmoil around that time.
TIA, so, this is Africa.
Yeah. So, you know, my mom, you know, kind of because of, you know, that and also just her seeing the writing on the wall as far as opportunities for us, decided to just say, okay, we're all going to pack up, you know.
Yes, sir.
you know, or so we left and we ended up moving to Boston, of all places.
Beantown. Okay.
Now, you had siblings that, as well?
Yeah. Yeah. So my, I had two older siblings. I have two older sisters, and they actually left the, you know, Ethiopia a little earlier than me. So they ended up kind of flying over to stay with an uncle of mine. He lived in New Carrollton. And I, on the other hand, had kind of like, you know, stayed back. There was a lot of complications. You know, the government doesn't really like, you know, once your family starts like flying to this place or that place, they're like, oh, so you're just trying to like see the country. And so, you know, as like, you know, like, you know, a male child, like they want you for military service and other things. So they're not like gonna let you out. So, you know, so it was kind of a whole host of complications for my
to get out,
kind of get me out. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a time you were 9 years old. So I'm thinking, you know, you probably were oblivious to a lot of, you know, to what was going on. But if you ask your parents now about the hardships that they endured to just get to the States, I mean, I'm sure that was a very stressful time for them.
Oh, I mean, without a doubt. And only as an adult can I appreciate, you know, some of the things that, you know, they were, you know, dealing with, you know, and you know, if you want to talk about just having no finances to just straight up, you know, racism, not having family or friends, you just name it, you know, and it was a lot. And they, you know, it just speaks to their sort of resilience, their, you know, belief that, you know, they're here for a reason and they're doing it all for their children, essentially. Because I mean, they would have been fine, you know, hanging around, you know, existing in Ethiopia, but they were doing it for us. So
yeah,
it was a lot to take on for them.
For sure. Yeah, you definitely want your kids to have a better life than you. And they saw the writing on the wall there. They were like, we gotta do it.
Yeah. So, and they did it.
And they picked Boston. You said you had some like family members who were like already there, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I have one uncle who was in New Carrollton, Maryland. And, you know, a lot of sort of the Ethiopian diaspora kind of lives in the DMV, as you know. Mm-hmm. But
very deep, yes.
We run deep.
You guys run deep. I still hit him with the Dada Nash to get free parking.
Does that still work? Does that still work?
The day. I was going to say,
it's too many of us. It doesn't work.
You didn't tell me.
I used to get free Starbucks back in the day, but now it's...
Nah, it doesn't work. Too many people, man. Too many people.
But you know, my parents are just, I don't know, you know, I can't really to this day really explain it. My parents just kind of looked around and oddly enough, were interested in like, were there a lot of colleges and universities?
Yeah.
So it really didn't have as much to do with like family and relatives as much as like, they just felt like the energy of Massachusetts was more like academic and, you know, college, university. And so they just said, all right, we're doing that.
So, I mean, that makes sense. I mean, there's like a million universities in Boston, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense, man. And like, they left Ethiopia for that reason. So
exactly.
It makes sense that they're going to go to the place that has like the most education opportunities, right? Yeah. So,
The cold.
Wow. Despite the cold, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. The cold.
Do you remember your first winter out here?
I do. I mean, you know, first snow was like exciting and everything, you know, I had never seen snow in my life. So I was like, wow, this is incredible. And then after that, it was like, oh my God, like I can't walk on the street anymore. what shocked me more than the snow was the people's reactions to the snow, just to say like non-reaction. Everything just carried on. So it was fascinating.
I feel like Boston's like Cleveland in that way. Like they take pride in like not shutting down when there's a lot of snow.
Oh yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. We're ready for it. The roads are getting ready.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Overtime. Yeah. Yeah. It was impressive. So.
Oh man. So wait. So how was school like? I guess in Boston then.
Oh man. So yeah, we went through a lot. Like we landed. We kind of landed in a rough part of Boston, and you know, like. I don't know. Boston nowadays, I don't know. It's a lot of ways like unrecognizable from Boston of the late 80s, early 90s.
The new edition Boston.
It's the new edition Boston. Right? It's like the, it's the Malcolm X. No, not that old. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, I know what you're saying. You exactly.
It was old Boston. It was not a good spot. So, you know.
Where in particular did you grow up?
We originally landed in Roxbury.
Okay.
I don't know if you know that area at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, like some of these places now I mentioned, and I'm like, oh, there's some lovely, like, you know, modern townhomes there. And like, oh, no, there was not.
Not there then.
No, not at all.
So, you know, but yeah, so where we landed was kind of tough. And I think it was, you know, it was a bit of a transition, because I think it's like not, you know, you can like kind of know the language. Like my parents kind of know English. We barely knew any, but then sort of like knowing sort of how to navigate, you know, like sort of like these social situations, like making friends, all these things are difficult.
I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, so it was a hard time, and the schools at the time were frankly failing. I mean, I think I ended up in the fourth grade at the time. That stretch where they were for, you know, the schools are so segregated. I make me sound super old when I say that, but
not at all.
Frankly, like they were. And so it had become such a problem that they would pack up, you know, kids from like, the black side of town and then drive them to the other side of, you know, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know,
that's crazy. Like, this is the 80s.
Yeah. Wow. This is really happening like back in late 80s. Yeah. So, so I used to get on a bus and they used to like, you know, truck us all the way down. And it wasn't like, you know, Bel Air, you know, it was like a fairly working class white. It was like, you know, the town kind of part of Boston.
Man.
So, you know, you're like, okay, so that's cool. I live in a rough part. And then I'm going to go to a place where like people are like, you know, trying to throw like bricks through your bus, the school bus.
Absolutely.
Window.
That's crazy. Wow.
So, happened? People were trying to throw bricks?
They did. That was actually a few years before I got there, but that was happening pretty regularly. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to Google it, that was like a mid late 80s thing, because it's like the Charlestown, like you know, it's now popularized in all these movies, but that side of Boston was not about integrating, like, you know,
not at all.
It's a real problem there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, yeah. It is. You know. Man. Wow. Yeah.
But things are, I'm sure, are changing. I mean, every single one of my immediate relatives still lives there, and, you know, things have drastically improved, you know, since those days. But made some for some interesting times.
I'm sure upon
landing on these shores. So,
yeah, but you kind of made it happen for yourself, though. I mean, in the end, you ended up getting into like the premier university in America.
You go. I want to know how you did it.
Not everyone can go to the Ohio State. Wait, no, I'm sorry. What school is it?
Right. Oh, yeah. Begins with an H, I think.
What is it?
Yeah. You got me. No, I mean, it was some moments. I mean, so I think it was a lot of basically just me sort of, you know, I was fairly, you know, studious. I was kind of a bookworm, you know, and I really wasn't really engaged until kind of around high school, where I just felt like, you know, I found the right kind of teachers and mentors and guidance counselors, most importantly, to kind of like actually shine a light on some of these schools, because that I wouldn't have even considered, you know, like Ivy League schools or any of that stuff, and as on my radar, you know. And so, you know, once, you know, I started doing better in, you know, my classes and stuff, and, you know, I, you know, had people who would say, hey, why don't you, you know, like plan on, you know, this, like study for the PSAT, like, you know, take these AP courses, you know, just had a really, you know, couple of good, you know, guidance counselors along the way that basically were, you know, making sure that like I at least had that in the back of my mind, because otherwise, I mean, that's not to say that I wouldn't have, you know, like gone on to college. You know, I have two older, you know, sisters who both went to college and they did amazing, but it's just, I wouldn't have even thought it was possible, frankly, if certain people hadn't kind of shown me that it was. So.
Yeah, it's information.
Difference. Yeah.
Oh, no, you got it.
I was just gonna say that's the big difference. And sometimes a kid or someone coming up, they don't even think about the possibilities or what they could do. And a good guidance counselor to just, you know, plant that seed and expose them to something can just make worlds of difference for many, many different people. So shout out to the guidance counselors out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had some good encounters with them myself, you know.
Exactly. So, no, there's nothing better than a good guidance counselor. There's also nothing worse than a bad guidance counselor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We've heard these stories about people, you know, being told not to do something or someone not to apply to something, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, shout out to them for actually like believing in you and just knowing this could be possible for you, at least giving you like a, you know, like just the thought to even like think about doing these things. And then like, that's all you need. You know, they're not going to do the work for you, but like, you know, as long as you think that you can do it and you have that information, that can go a long way.
Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And you know, to your, you know, earlier point, you know, I've definitely had advisors who are on the other end who are just like, oh no, you can't do this and that. And that it pertains to applying to med school. And so it definitely cuts both ways. You know,
it absolutely does. And I think that's probably one of the biggest skills like throughout the whole journey is like recognizing what's bad advice and what's good advice. Because once you can figure that out and figure out like where people are coming from, then you can actually make better decisions for yourself. But recognizing bad advice is a skill. That's a skill because you can get a lot of bad information, and the fact that you were able to recognize the good information is big shout out to you for making it happen. So, tell us, how was that moment though when you got into Harvard though?
Well, it was surreal. So, like, I had applied early acceptance, early admission. And so, you know, first I was just kind of like, well, you know, I'd lose nothing, right? Like I apply, I don't get in. Okay, I'll keep it moving. Like I just apply to other schools.
Yeah.
So I get this like extremely thin envelope in the mail, you know, y'all know, you're expecting like, you know, I don't know, some encyclopedia size.
Right.
And then you get this like really flimsy letter that looked like it's like a bill or something. And you're like, all right. So I get that, and I couldn't even open it. I just handed it to my mom, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh, okay. And so I handed it to my mom, and she's like, what are you, crazy? Like, open it. Like, she just, like, tore it up. Yeah, and yeah, it was my mom who kind of lost her mind, and I was like, oh, my God, it's real.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, that makes sense, though. That's why they came. You know, that's why they came.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, it was very exciting for me, but I couldn't even imagine, you know, like just in her shoes, like, wow, you know. And to this day, like, I think, you know, they like kidnapped my diploma, like they have it somewhere in their house.
Oh, 100%. Because that's, you know, that's like, that's exactly right. Because, you know, like, they, you know, like, it's a tough decision to like leave your home country and come to a new country and then have a lot of difficulties and not know whether it's going to work out or not.
Right.
But then even though, like, you know, it's just a piece of paper that like, gets you in, but like, that's at least justification that you're on the right path. Like, we made the right decision. Exactly. This is the best thing for our family. Like, I'm glad we did this. Like, it's a lot of relief. It's a lot of appreciation. You know, it's just, I can't imagine like what she felt, you know, to like actually see that, you know.
Oh, no. Exactly. You know, now that I have a child, it's just like, you know, I can really sort of grasp some of the things that they were feeling and thinking at the, you know, all the, you know, highs and lows. So.
Yes.
Tonight, when you struggle with your kids to do their homework, do their math, work on their handwriting, and you're just putting up with so much opposition.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine when they're graduating from high school, you get a letter from a university saying, hey, you got in.
Oh,
it's going to be like, it's going to hit you like,
exactly.
All those dirty diapers and that homework.
That's right.
All that. I'm going to lose my mind too.
Exactly. It's just different. It hits different.
Oh, it really does. Oh, that's so true. Yeah, no, that's it's a circle of life, I guess.
This is really how it is.
Yes.
It really is.
It's so crazy.
It really is.
You don't appreciate your parents if you have kids. Like, definitely.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, so tell us about how was Harvard? Was it easy?
man.
Yes.
So I'd say my experience was, I don't know. I'd say it was complicated. On the one hand, I felt like there was a lot of amazing people there, a lot of amazing opportunities there. You know, you can get into, you know, anything you wanted, you know, whatever your interest and, you know, major, you know, whatever you had, you know, you could even design major, whatever you wanted to do was there. The only problem was that it was just, it felt like, you know, that, you know, go back to the guidance counselor advising piece, it really felt like you're kind of a little bit kind of twisting in the wind if you didn't have the right people kind of like, you know, showing you the way. You know what I mean? It's because, you know, at the time, and, you know, I'm sure things are better now, but I felt like they weren't as focused on the undergrad experience. You know, they had a rep and they have a grad school and, you know, their international reputation, I'm sure, comes from like grants they pull and this kind of thing. So it just, you know, I think the undergrad experience, you know, could have been a little bit more like inviting, for lack of a better word.
But you were like the, I was going to say, you were the first person on Facebook though, right?
I don't know. I was probably like the 26th. I don't know. I look back and I was like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm old. Like, I can't believe I had this. I mean, I don't really use it very that much, like once in a blue moon, but it just, it's funny to see that, you know, I had it so long. But anyway, part of history. Yeah, it kind of is. But, you know, so, I mean, I'd say, like, I appreciate it for what it was. You know, it opened doors in a way, like, you know, made me realize that, okay, you know, there's a lot of people who are, you know, gunning for, you know, pre-med and doing all these amazing things. So, you know, I felt like, okay, I got to elevate my game and stuff and, you know, make sure that I am prepared for, you know, grad school and everything. So on that side, it was, you know, it was great. It did feel a little bit like you're a little I felt like it was a little isolated, you know, like didn't really feel like, you know, I'm sure other people had different undergrad experience where it just feels like home. That wasn't necessarily my experience.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Which is crazy. Cause you were in home. That was
awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a strange thing. Like
it was odd. But yeah, no, you can feel like that anywhere. So like it's important to recognize, important to, you know, just acknowledge, you know. So but let me ask you, so were you pre-med the whole time you were in undergrad, or were you thinking of something else?
I was mostly kind of geared towards sciences. I was a chemistry major. Mm-hmm. So I was considering kind of pursuing that and sort of like, you know, going forward towards like a PhD and that kind of thing. But I eventually, you know, decided that, you know, like research wasn't for me. I mean, I just did not have good luck in like the chem lab, like PCAM, right, and some of these things that just like, I felt like I was just like spending, you know, half my life in there, like getting, you know, no results out of it.
Yes.
You know, and
a lot of graph paper.
Exactly.
Oh,
hey, graph paper.
You know, I'll give you an example. Like I had an after school job. And so I think it was like work study. Yeah. I had like a work study job in a lab. So I kind of figured, oh, you know, two birds, one stone, like I'll learn some chemistry and this and that, and also get some work study money. And so I was at the med school. So I'd go over there and like the first day, you know, they showed me how to do this and they had some like radioactive, you know, isotopes or something that they're working on. And I did something and basically like contaminated the area and the whole lab had to shut down for like 48 hours.
That's terrible.
So I'm like, okay, pivot. I felt like very small at that moment.
Yeah,
like,
no, I'm sure.
I'm sure. This is tough.
Right. But it's good to fail fast, though.
It's good to fail. Exactly. Oh, man. I definitely, you know, medicine was on my radar for sure. And, and, you know, so I, you know, definitely, you know, had that in mind, you know, like I just like experiences I had in Ethiopia and just kind of some of the healthcare systems and just, you know, feeling like I really wanted to, you know, to sort of get into medicine and do better. So
for sure. How was that process then of getting into medical school?
Wasn't a straight line. I mean, I think what happened for me was that I definitely knew I wanted to be in, you know, pre-med and then med school. And then the time came and I had the wrong advisor. You know, these folks who are just telling you that, oh, you know, you got like, you know, like, whatever, like a B in this thing, and then you got to like take this class over, and just basically making you feel like, you know, the way that Harvard does it is kind of funny. So what they do is they sort of give you an advisor, and then that advisor has to like kind of collect recommendation letters, and they have to like basically send some like compilation letter out.
Oh.
And you know, so essentially they have to kind of bless you with
to even apply,
to apply. You
wow.
know, that you know sort of reinforces their high admissions rate, right? Like if
yeah.
you think about it, you know, it's like only certain people, you know, are going to apply. They're like, oh, okay,
yep.
well, I guess. So anyway, but, you know, it just, you know, this I had this certain sense that the, you know, person I was speaking with wasn't really like my mm-hmm. biggest advocate. And so I just felt like, all right, this isn't the right time. So what I ended up doing was taking a year off and, you know, working on a research project.
And nice.
While sort of, you know, trying to improve my, you know, credentials, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, this will be the first and last time we ask anything like this on the podcast, but what type of research did you do?
So I actually ended up in radiology of all places. So it was a complete fluke. I mean, I was just kind of looking around for things that would sort of fit the bill and still give me enough time to, you know, take like classes at, you know, at night and things like that. Mm-hmm. And you know, this one project or this one area in Mass General Hospital, there's the neuroradiology department had a section called neurovascular something institute. I forget the name of it now. Mm-hmm. But essentially what they were doing was they had like techs that were doing transcranial Doppler. Like, I don't even know if they still do this now, but essentially back then they, you know, would use these TCDs to kind of like monitor, you know, your, you know, degrees of vessel stenosis, your carotids, you know, ICA, you know, ECA, you know, VERT, you know, that kind of thing.
Interesting. Okay.
So, you know, they would have us like run these tests, and also they were working on a few like MR angiography projects, and I was involved in some of those.
Cool.
Yeah. So I
serendipitous.
Yeah, yes. It just kind of worked out. You know, it was a total fluke. And once I got there, you know, like I had, you know, I didn't even know what radiology was, to be honest. And you know, so
that's crazy.
But I definitely learned a lot. I mean, that was like, you know, learning radiology from the fly, knowing no anatomy. I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know what a vertebral artery was, but I was scanning it every day.
You were a mess. Yeah.
I mean, there's something to be said of just doing it every day. You
just
know?
Doing it. Yeah.
Just getting out there and doing it. So, oh, that's so good, man. So,
yeah. So it was good. And I, you know, I did, you know, I got, you know, some things published and I got a good, you know, letter of recommendation out of it. So I think it worked out pretty well in terms of, you know, improving my chances for med school.
Nice. Yeah. So then after that, then you apply, you got the letter, you mm-hmm. got the research mm-hmm. under your belt. Mm-hmm. And did you apply to like one school, 50 schools, 100 schools?
I must have applied to every school in America.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I wasn't
giving right.
it a chance. No, I mean,
that's
I,
right.
Not literally, but probably, I mean, I don't know. Must have been at least 40 schools. I don't know. There's a lot.
Mm.
It was very expensive. I remember that much. Yeah. but, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it was probably 30 to 40. And I think I got into, like, 4 or 5.
So, that's not bad.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
No, that's not bad. We've talked about this. You know, Travis applied to quarterback numbers, right? What'd you like? 10 schools?
Oh, one take.
I was
exactly. Why you put me out there like that?
Just saying, man. We need, you know, we there has to be transparency here.
Yes.
I applied to wide receiver numbers, 88.
Nice.
Up there.
might not have been the smartest move, but it's
all
worked
good.
Out.
It works. So wait, so how did you choose to go to Case then in the end?
It was interesting. So I finally narrowed it down to a couple schools. I think it was U of I, and then mm-hmm. I wanted the Chicago campus, but at that time they're just like kind of place you wherever, mm-hmm. and then Case and. what's the school in Pennsylvania? I forget the name of it now. It's in Philly. But anyway, but you know, so I was kind of, you know, bouncing it back and forth, but really it was mostly about like, what people did I meet there? You know, mm-hmm. how did I, you know, feel like I would do, you know, in terms of, you know, did I feel like the administration was very supportive? Like, I really was kind of more focused on having like the opposite of what my undergrad experience was like. Like, I didn't like the idea, like the feeling of like, not having like the right people in my corner, not feeling like, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, just, you know, do what you're going to do. And there's no one to like guide you along the way.
Right. Right.
So I think when I visited Case, I think it was the second look, you know, I just met so many cool people. It was just, you know, I think Dr. Haney was, you know, was there, and there's just so many really.
Yes. Big shout out Dr. Haney. Sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And, man. There's just a lot of great folks I met there, and it just made me feel at home. You know what I mean? Just
you need like, that. You need like to connect with the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, exactly. And contrast that to U of I Chicago. Oh my God. Like, I told Saad the story, but I'm going to have her rehash it once more. But so I go on the interview. It's a panel interview. And, you know, I forget, it was like 4 or 5 people on the panel. And it was strange, to say the least, to have like, you know, kind of be interviewed like rapid fire in like a panel, but it was, you know, it was what it was.
And so, and then, just to clarify, so it's like you sitting and there's like 5 people.
Correct. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That was one thing. But then there was one person on the panel that was asking the craziest questions I've ever, ever. I mean, like, this woman like consistently was like, well, why aren't you working in Africa like right now? Like,
what?
Oh my gosh. And what did you say?
I had no response. Like, how do you respond to that? Like, you know, like, how do you, like, what?
It's terrible. Yeah. Terrible, terrible.
So, anyway, so.
And Chen, this is a person that's making decisions on who gets into the school.
I mean, it's crazy. It was so epically bad that I had that, you know, they had a student interviewer as well. And he literally like ran me down and said, look, you know, this woman does not represent our school.
Wow.
You know, it was kind of egregious. And,
wow.
The student felt terrible about, you know, like having this woman kind of like, you know, just ask outlandish questions. So,
right. Yeah. And that makes sense. Then you contrast that to like going to Case and then meeting Dr. Haney, who's like a older African-American guy who's like super cool. Like, I mean, that's right. That you make a decision, you know, based on the people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was exactly. It really distilled it, you know, made the decision very clear for me in that way.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, it's good. I mean, I think we had a good group at Case, so it makes sense. And I think, like, you know, I've told the story before. You know, I was ortho and you were radiology the whole time, and it took me a little bit of time, but eventually I had to get on board.
You saw the light.
You saw the dark.
I saw the light. Dark. That's right. So like, I guess when you were at Case, you know, I'm sure we have like a million Case stories, but so when you decided for radiology, you said you decided like pretty early on, were you considering anything else like when you were in medical school?
I'll be honest. I mean, I was very interested in radiology just from what I'd seen, at, you know, during my year, you know, research project and everything. It kind of felt like a whole new world. You know, I just couldn't imagine that you could learn, you know, not to be cheap, but like, you know, you just,
yeah,
it's just like, imagine like you could learn all these things completely non-invasively. Like, I didn't even conceptually, like, it blew my mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, MR, just like no radiation. You just find out like, you know, what the vessels look like. I was like, what? This is crazy. So
yeah,
it was a lot of really, you know, kind of very high level cool stuff that was going on, and I kind of wanted to be a part of it. But at the same time, you know, med school, you know, it's hard because it's like you're kind of pulled in a lot of different directions, and you don't have a lot of time to make your final decision as far as like what you're, you know, going to pursue and match. So
yeah,
kind of, you know, so I would say when it came down to it, like my lab, you know, as things were narrowing down, I knew I wanted to not have like a crazy lifestyle, you know, as far as like work hours. And I also knew that I did not like surgery. I didn't want to be in the OR. That just wasn't my thing.
Right.
So I don't know. I was kind of leaning towards, honestly, believe it or not, pediatrics was on the radar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what else? What else? Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think I really was sort of like, you know, like just kind of like, you know, radiology, you know, with like a pediatrics kind of maybe hedge. Cause
yeah,
I wasn't
just in case.
Know, I wasn't totally sure. And, I had a really great, you know, series of, you know, experiences in both radiology and peds, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, now Rainbow was amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah.
True. Yeah. Man. I mean,
so yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, very impressive, man, the things you've accomplished and your path. I always like to find out, you know, what was the toughest thing for you along the way to overcome? Mm. And then how did you overcome it? I think there's some lessons that we can share with any of our listeners who are struggling or attempting to go on your path.
Exactly. So,
wow. Well, I would say that, you know, there definitely is, you know, one or two things that stand out. But what I want to say is there's always going to be really, really, you know, hard moments in going through medicine. It's just, it's long, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's sort of like, you know, persevering and try to lean on your support system, your family, most importantly, mm-hmm. is what's going to get you through. I'd say for me, one of the worst was, I definitely remember like things like, match day was kind of terrible. If I was there, I had interviewed at some great programs, and I was, you know, I had like talked to some folks, and, you know, I don't know what it, like people kind of has to have this like, you know, sense that they're like, okay, wink, wink, like we really want you, like you're coming to our program.
Uh-huh.
And
very all, used car salesman-y.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, you know, they're like, well, of course, we're just gonna say what you need to say to fill up our match list. But anyhow, mm-hmm. But yeah, like there's like four programs that I was like, you know, on solid standing with, and none of them ranked me to match, it seems. So man. I didn't match any of them. And yeah, I ended up at my ninth, or was it? No, sorry, my eighth spot for radiology. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't, I mean, that's not to say that like it was the end of the world. Like, I know there's people who are going through like, you know, mm-hmm. very difficult situations. And that's, but, you know, for me, it really was a moment where I felt like, you know, like it kind of felt like a bait and switch. And I was really trying to, you know, be, you know, close to family and friends. And
right.
know, there's kind of a lot going on at the time, and it yeah. just felt like, a gut punch at the time. And,
yeah.
You know, I'd say it's like, you know, like 10 years in practice me versus like then me, it's like night and day in terms of realizing that, I mean, that was not the end of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Cause you still messed.
Exactly. Like right, I didn't have the perspective at the time. I mean,
but it's
like
tough though, because you put so much work into like the match day. You've interviewed all these places. You're imagining your life at all these different programs, yeah. and then like to like not, you know, get one of the spots that you felt like, you know, you were mm-hmm. supposed to get. Yeah. It's like it's very painful. So
I number mean, eight.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, you know, you like I flew all, you know, you and I like we flew all around the country, took out, you know, loans to go to these places and
yeah,
you know, write letters and show do all. I mean, it was a, you know, amount of work to get to that point, and you felt like, okay, like you, I guess you're emotionally invested, for lack of a better word, in some of these programs
because 100%, kind of,
you know, that's where you want to be, and
right.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, Saad saw me that day. It was, you know,
only for a second.
I walked in and then I walked out. Between us and your listeners, like I feel like I just blacked out. Like I walked the streets of Cleveland for like hours, like no joke.
Wow,
it really was a moment. It was a moment. Like
yeah,
really.
I bet, man, because you invest all so much time, so much hard work.
Yeah.
And exactly. You know, you go undergrad, med school, applications, all of that. And then, you know, you probably have different expectations. Everyone would have different expectations. Like this is the culmination of so much prep. So I get it, man. But I'm happy to hear you say in retrospect, 10 years in practice doing your thing, you look back and you think, yeah, that wasn't the end of the world.
Exactly.
But, and in the moment, it feels that way, but it, you know.
But you definitely want to go. Yeah, you definitely end up at the place that they want you, because you know it's probably better than going to a place where they don't want you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, big I mean,
facts, for sure.
That's right.
So like, yeah, for anyone, because it's 4 years, you put the 4 years in, and then you can basically choose anything after that, right? So, okay. and you did end up matching, right? You got the email on the Monday saying that you did match radiology, so that's like a high, but then like maybe not getting the spot that you want is a low, but in the end, you still are doing radiology, and you keep that perspective of people who don't even match, you know, into radiology. So that's it's a big deal.
Right.
Big deal, man.
You know, and again, it's like, you know, I, you know, looking back again, it's really like, I don't want to, you know, minimize it, but at the same time, I really, at the moment, in that state of mind that I was in, felt like a really terrible outcome, you know?
And, oh, it does. And
there's a lot of those, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of these, like, you know, mines that landmines that you kind of get into in medicine, you know?
It's a long haul.
Like, yeah, like whether it's, you know, getting into med school or not, or you know, this exam doesn't go your way, like step 1, 2, 3, or there's a lot of these that, you know, feel like emotionally, you know, kind of like, you know, it's almost traumatic. It is traumatic. Yeah.
It is very traumatic. It is. And especially like, again, being in a competitive environment, it is really important to keep the proper framing, because if like you frame it as like, I did not get where I want, of course you'd be disappointed. But if you frame it as, you know, I'm going to be a radiologist, then it's, you know, it's a win. Exactly. You take you take your wins, because it's a long haul. You take the wins and you keep it moving, and you go to the place that wants you, and you put them on your back like LeBron. That's how it is.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it. Yeah, man. But yeah, man, that's we appreciate you doing this with us, man. We're definitely gonna have you back. We're gonna talk a lot more about the actual radiology experience, but
of course.
Yeah, I love it.
No, this was great, man. We have many stories. Many might have to be off wax. Maybe some will come on wax at some point.
Yeah, I want to hear about match day, and you know, I want to hear what you guys did, you know, match day to celebrate that week. I'm sure some good stuff in there.
We might have to have a panel discussion. It might be a panel, man, but either way, man, we really appreciate you doing this with us, and we're gonna have you back again, and
of course
we're gonna get into a lot more things next time, definitely, man. So
happy to support. You guys are doing great, and you know, I mean, having, you know, if I were to have something like this where I could just like hear the perspective of people, you know, people of color who went through it, and you know, it would have changed a lot of things. So I appreciate, you know, the efforts you're putting forth. It's really,
for
really
sure.
Thank you, man.
And yeah, man, we appreciate it. Till next time, stay low.
Yeah.
Keep firing.
Keep firing.